All right, Jehovah, good morning. Let's begin. Our shiur today is dedicated by the Elman family in the Zuchus of Rafua Shlima for Shiryam Miriam Bas Chayesara. She, together with Chaim Yaakov David Ben Avigail and Kol Chole Yisrael, should all enjoy an ongoing and sustained Rafua. All right, Jehovah, let's begin. So, beautiful daf today. Today's daf is Kufchas. We are picking up on Kuf Zayin Amud Beis. So let's actually pick up from Amud of Sheshes. A lot to do today. So Amud of Sheshes, which is 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, 16, 18, 19 lines up from the bottom. So Amud of Sheshes, we'll do it quickly. We actually began this case yesterday, but we'll repeat it for this morning. Amud of Sheshes, Hatoin Tainas Gana Bepikadon. If a person goes ahead, right, I entrust the object with Reuven, and Reuven claims that the object was stolen. The moment that Reuven misappropriated the object, he's potter. I will say potter from what? Potter from kefel. So remember again, in this case over here, he misappropriates, so he's potter in kefel. And I will say, remember again, my time, what's the reason? Hachi kam rachmana, this is what the Torah says, v'nikra balabayis el elokim, im lo shalach yadobim alechas re'ehu. So the Torah says, the balabayis will come before the judge to swear if he did not go ahead and misappropriate the object. What do we see from here? Ha shalach yado pater. If he did misappropriate, he's pater. Now, also remember, pater from what? This is pater from kefel. Let's be clear. What it's saying over here is if he went ahead and misappropriated it, then ultimately, again, he's pater from kefel. The reason why he's pater from kefel, Bosa, is because, remember, kefel is a din by a ganav. Once the shomer goes ahead and misappropriates the object, he essentially becomes a gazlon. Therefore, again, he is pater from kefel. Still, of course, chayiv to return the object, but pater from kefel. Amar li Rav Nachman. So Nachman said, 1 second, v'halos shalosh shvuos mashbi enoso. But yet again, when a custodian comes to Beis Din, and he claims that he does not have the object, so we go ahead and we administer three types of oaths. Number one, shvua shalo pashatiba. The shomer has to swear that he was not negligent with the item. Meaning, I will say, in this case, the shomer is coming along and saying that the object was stolen, or the object is lost, some type of extenuating circumstance. So we make him take a series of shvuas. Number one, that you were not posheya. Number one, that you were not negligent. Shvua shalo shalachti boyat, a shvua that you did not misappropriate. Shvua she'ina b'rishusi, and a shvua that you do not actually have it. Says the Gemara, my love, shvua shalo shalachti boyat, dumi the shvua she'ina b'rishusi. Or is it not that the shvua shalo shalachti boyat, the shvua that you did not misappropriate, is that the same thing? Is that not similar to the shvua that is not in your possession? Ma shvua she'ina b'rishusi. We'll say, just like if the shomer takes a shvua that the object is not in my possession, ki migla milsa di isei b'rishusi chayiv, if it turns out that the item is in his rishus, he will be chayiv. Af shvua shalo shalachti boyad. So to Rabbi say, if the aid made, it's not the aid, I keep saying aid, if the shomer takes the shvua that he did not misappropriate, and what? Ki megalya milsa the shalach bayad chayiv. When it turns out that what? When it becomes clear that he did misappropriate, he should be chayiv. So Rabbi says, so ultimately, again, Rav Nachman is asking on Rav Sheshes. To which Rav Sheshes responds, no. Lo, shvua shal shalachti boyad dumya tishlopa shatiba. Rav said, the shvua that I did not misappropriate is similar to the shvua that I was not negligent. How so? Ma shvua shalopa shatiba. Rav said, just like when the shvua that I was not negligent, last four lines of Bosei on the daf. Ki migla milsa de pasha ba pater mikefel. When it turns out that I was negligent, I'm pater from kefel. Now, listen, I hear it. Just understand what this means. If it turns out that the shomer was negligent, he's pater from kefel. Why? Because I will say the case of negligence is where he doesn't watch the item properly. The item is stolen. But the item is stolen by someone other than who? Other than the shaliach himself. So in a case of where it turns out that he was negligent, there is no obligation for kefel. Af shvua shalo shalachti boyad. So to Rabbi say, when he takes a shvua that I did not misappropriate, ki megalya milsa de shalach bayad pater mikefel. Ultimately, again, when it turns out that he did not misappropriate, he will be pater in kefel. So Rabbi say, this indeed is the halacha in the Rambam. So the Rambam writes, I'm just going to quote you, this is from Hilchos Geneva, Perek Dalit Halacha Beis. Dalit Beis Hilchos Geneva, if you want to look it up. So the Rambam says the following. The Rambam says, Avalim shalach boyad v'ta'an tainas ganov, v'nishba uba'u edim pater min ha'kefel, shekevan sheshalach boyad, shalach yad, nischayiv bo v'kanehu. So it's a very important halacha that The Rambam paskins that in the event that the shaliach misappropriates, he claims that it was stolen. He claims that it was stolen, and he swears to that effect. And then it turns out that he's a liar. Witnesses come and say that he really did misappropriate it. He is parted from keifa. Why? Because we'll say, remember, the moment that a ganav the moment that a shomer misappropriates an object, he turns from a ganav to a gazlon, he becomes a gazlon, and he's going to be putter ultimately again from kefal. It's a technicality. Now, lest you think he's getting off easy, he's not getting off easy, because remember, again, he has much bigger problems right now than kefal, which is that he is a proven liar, and that has an incredible number of ramifications as well on him. But lamaisa, on a technicality, he is putter from kefal. So the Gemara goes weiter. Boy, Rabbi Chaim, boy, Rami Bar Chama, mamon hamechayiv kefal. Now listen to this. So Rabbi Chama asked the following question. He says, do we say, if you, now Rabbi Bar Chama's, so here's what we know. Okay, let me start with what we know. What we know is that one person can't be chayiv both kefal as well as chomesh. Remember again, kefal is the double payment. Chomesh is the 1/5 penalty payment for a shvua shav. You can't be chayiv both. We demonstrated that earlier. So Rabbi Bar Chama asked the following. Why is that? Is it mamon hamechayiv kefal pochum in a chomesh? Is it because the same money that makes you chayiv in kefal by definition exempts you from chomesh? Or is it the shvua that ultimately makes you chayiv in kefal that patters you from chomesh? We'll also take a look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi says, "No, I'm sorry. Fine." So the Gemara says the following. So let's analyze this. So says the Gemara. Hechidami, what's the case? Last line. Hechidami, kigon shetan tainas ganav. Well, so here's the case. The shomer claims that the object was stolen from him, v'nishba, and he swore. He swore to that effect. V'chazar v'tan tainas avad. Then he goes back and he claims, or we'll say, after he swears that it was stolen by a ganav, he then goes back and claims that it was lost, and he swears to that effect as well. Top of kufchas. So watch this. So now he's taking two shvuas. First shvua that it was stolen. Second shvua that it was lost. And witnesses came and said that he was lying about the first oath, right? That again, the object was never stolen. And he admits that he was lying about the second oath. So it turns out he has the object. So witnesses come, he lied about the fact that it was stolen, and he admits that he lied about the fact that it was lost. So we'll say, what is the halacha in such a situation? Now remember, look at Rashi for just a moment. Ubo edim, tichishanishpa haisa etzlo l'chayiv kefal. The hadr hoda izwa basa. Now we'll say, that's one more important factoid over here, which is that if you admit that you stole an object, you are also pater from kefal. Why are you pater from kefal? Because we're both saying kefal is a knas. Kefal is a penalty payment. And the halacha by knas is mode b'knas pater. So watch this case. This is riveting. So here, again, I deposit the object with Reuven. Reuven's watching my object. I come back to reclaim to go ahead and get my object back. Reuven says, I'm so sorry, it was stolen. And he takes a shvua, it was stolen. Then he says, you know what, I made a mistake. It wasn't stolen. But instead, actually doesn't say I made a mistake. So I take another shvua, it was lost. And he takes a shvua to that effect. Witnesses show up and say, Reuven, you're lying. It wasn't stolen, it's in your possession. And he admits that he lied on the second oath. So both say, now watch this. As a result of the Eidos on the first oath that he lied, he should technically be Chayiv Kefal. But the fact that he admitted the fact that he lied on the second oath, he's Pater from Kefal. Because he admitted the fact that he was in possession of the item. So the Gemara says, what do we do with this? Mai, so now you understand what the Gemara's question is. Mai, mamon hamechayavto kefal pocha min achomesh. So we'll say, do we say that once money, once a certain monetary unit obligates you in kefal, by definition it patters you from chomesh, therefore, v'ha echayiv le'iluye kfela. Therefore, we'll say, on this money, meaning on this object, the ganav will be chayiv kefal, right? Shom be chayiv kefal, and therefore, by definition, he is patter from chomesh. O dilma, shvua hamechayavto kefal pocha min achomesh. Or I will say, maybe it's the fact that once you take a shvua, and you are obligated in kefal, by definition that patters you in chomesh, and it's the shvua that obligates you in one and exempts you from the other. Vaha shvua basrei. I will say, in this case, because there is a second shvua, Techai v'chumsha. The Rabbah say, here's what's interesting. Remember, from the first Shvua, the Shomer will be chayiv kefo, because witnesses came along and proved that he lied. From the second Shvua, he admitted the fact that he lied. His admission, by definition, should pater him from kefel, but perhaps should make him chayiv in chomesh. So we'll say, see, so you hear the nafkamino. Is it the fact that on one unit of money, you can't be chayiv both kefel and chomesh, and therefore once you're obligated on the money, when I say money, I mean the object, kefel, by definition, you can't be chayiv chomesh, or do we say it's the shvua? Once the shvua makes you obligated in kefel, you're patur from chomesh. The nafkamina is, in this kind of case, where there are two shvuas. Because you must remember, shvua number one, he's going to be chayiv in kefel for, because he lied and witnesses proved that he lied, so he's chayiv in kefel for that. Shvua number two, he admitted, which means he should be patur from kefel, but perhaps chayiv for chomesh, which is the financial penalty part of a false oath. And because they're two separate oaths, perhaps there should be two liabilities. So we'll say Rava tries to prove this point. I go over to someone from the marketplace and say, hey, where's my axe? Shagan after that you stole. And he said, I didn't steal it from you. I make him take a shvua that he did not steal it. And he says, okay, I agree, I take a shvua. And the Edom testified that he did steal it. So he has to pay kefal. We'll say in that case, he has to pay kefal. But if he admitted his liability on his own, then Mishalim Karen, the Chomesh, the Asham. Then ultimately, again, he just has to pay the Karen, the principal, the Chomesh, the one-fifth penalty, and the Asham, which is, again, the carbonic liability. I will say now, in this case, remember, it's the testimony of the witnesses that are making him liable in Kefal. Holda me'atzmo in. But yet, avaholda achar edim lo. So we'll say ultimately, again, it's in this case that the edim are making chayiv kefal, and therefore, if he admits it on his own, he is liable. But if he admitted it after the edim, he would not be liable. And if you want to say that it's the shvua that makes you chayiv in kefal, that by definition makes you potter from chomesh, amai holda achar edim lo. If that's the case, then even if he admitted his liability after the witnesses come, he should still be liable. Hashvua lo kama chayv lekfela techayv chumsha, because it will say in that case the shvua is not making him chayv in kefal, it should make him chayv in chomesh. Alalash mamino. Rather, what do you see from here? Mamon hamechayv al kefal potrasal min hachomesh shmamino. So what do we see from here? That the money or the object that makes him chayv in kefal by definition counters him from chomesh. So we'll say, so the Rambam discusses this as well. So the Rambam says, This is actually Perek Dalet Halacha Vav. So the Rambam writes, let me just read this to you. Tan Tanas Ganav Vinishma. So we'll say if the Shomer claimed that the object was stolen and he swore to that effect, Vitan Tanas Aveda Vinishma, and then he swore again. Now we'll say, now why exactly we accept the second oath of the Shomer if he already made the first oath? So Tosas deals with that. We're not going to get into that right now. So he says Vinishma, so he makes a second oath that the object was lost. Uba Edim Shalom Nignav, and witnesses came and said it was not stolen. So they witnesses disproved the first oath, and he admits that he lied under the second oath. V'holda hu shalom avad, hoel u'mishalim tashlumi kefa api edim, eino mishalim chomesh al shvua achrona, af api shahoda, shamamon hamechaivo bekefa pochoso minachom. So the way that Rambam paskins, just to distill this down to a very simple fact, what the Gemara is saying, what the Rambam is saying is, that you could only be chayiv kefel or chomesh. You can't be chayiv both for one claim. That's essentially what the Gemara is saying. So therefore, once you're already chayiv in kefel, by definition, even though he's swearing again, and he should be chayiv a chomesh for that second oath, you're not. It's almost like no double jeopardy. You know, you're only your own, it's not exactly, but you're only chayiv, you can only be chayiv one financial penalty per claim. So if you are denying the existence of a pikadon of an item entrusted with you, if you're already on the hook for kefel, by definition, you cannot be also prosecuted for chomesh. Fine. Bar Ravina. Chomesh uklil betray gabri mai. So let's listen to this case. So now that we've established that you cannot be chayiv chomesh and kefel on the same unit of money or the same object, can two people involved in the same claim One be chayif kefa, one be chayif chomush. So what's the case? Says the Gemara Hechi. Then what's the case? Kigon shemasar shar lishnei bnei adam. So listen to this. I give my shar to two people. I give my shar to Reuben and Shimon to watch. Vitanu both tainas ganav, and I both say they both claim that the object was stolen. Chad nishba v'holda v'chad nishba v'ba edim. So listen to this case. So Reuben and Shimon over is amazing. I give my shar to Reuben and Shimon to watch. Reuben, I come back to get it. They say, so sorry, it was stolen, and they swear it was stolen. So what happens? Reuven has a guilty conscience, so what happens? He swears, and then he admits that he misappropriated the shar. Right? Shimon, on the other hand, did not admit anything. Rather, by Shimon, witnesses came afterwards and proved that he was lying. So we'll say, now understand, if the shomer takes a shvuah, so let's analyze this. What is Reuven chayiv in a vacuum? What is Reuven chayiv? He swore falsely, then he admitted his liability. What is he chayiv? Right? What is he chayiv? Keren and chomesh. Right? He's going to be chayiv, the keren, the principal, the chomesh, the one-fifth, but not kefil. Why? Because he was modi, he admitted the fact that he was guilty, and therefore modi b'knas is pater. So be chayiv. But yet the second guy, Shimon, what should he be chayiv? He should be chayiv ultimately kefil. Why? Because he lied, and witnesses came back and went ahead and prove that he was lying. So we'll say here. So we just established before that that one person can't pay chomesh and kefal on one unit. In this case, you have two people, both entrusted with the same unit, both lied to it. One's lie generates a chomesh liability. One's lie generates a kefal liability. Can they both be obligated to pay their independent responsibilities on the same object? So says the Gemara, listen to this. So my mi amrina bechad gavra kapid rachmanet lo mashayin chumsha v'kfeila hainu shayin kfeila v'hainu shayin chumsha. Do we see that Torah is only makbid that one person shouldn't have to pay both kefil and chumash? But in this case, because it's two different people, so they should both pay their own respective responsibilities. O dilma ilu yachad mamona kapid rachmanet lo mashayin ala chumsha v'kfeila v'hachanam yichad mamonahu. So we'll see here, listen to this. You get a little bit of a brisker chakira. Is this a din in the gavra? Or is this a din in the chafza? Right? So when we say that you can't pay chomesh and kefel, is that a din in the object? That one object can never generate both liabilities? Or is it a din in the gavra, the individual, that one person could never be responsible for both payments? What's the nafkamina? Practical difference is in this case where you have two shomrim over the same object. If you hold it's a din in the chefza, it's a din in the object, then even though, again, Reuven's claim should result in chomesh, Shimon's claim should result in kefal, they're only going to pay kefal, and that's going to be it. But if you say it's a din in the chefza, that's if you say if it's a din in the chefza. But if you hold it's a din in the gavra, then I will say as long as one person is not paying both, Reuven can pay his chomesh, and Shimon can pay his kefal, shalom ha'yisot, which the Gemara says, teku. So here's what we do know. What we do know is that one person can never be chayiv both kefel as well as chomesh over one object. What about two people? So essentially the Gemara's question of, is this a din in the gavra or is this a din in the chefza? The Gemara leaves standing. So in these cases, you rule the chumrah. So the chumrah in this case will be a moti mechaver alavaraya. You know, so you in general, the chumrah for extracting money is status quo. So the answer is it's really not collectible. Says the Gemara, "By Rav Papa, trei chumshi or trei kfele, b'chad gavra mayr." Boss, listen to this case. What happens if one guy is chayiv two chomeshes, or one guy is chayiv two kefels? So what do you do? So my, so what says the Gemara? Hey, Chidami, what's the case? Shetan tainas avad v'nishba. So here's the case. I remember, same situation. I'm depositing the object with Reuven. He's watching it on my behalf. I come to get it from him, and he claims it was lost. V'nishba, he swears to that effect. Vahoda, and then he admits his liability. So we'll say again, remember, what happens when he admits his liability? Right? What is his liability? Chomesh. Right? Chomesh. Right? That's all, because Modi Viknas Pater. Then what happens? V'chazer v'tan, tainas avid v'nishba. He swears again. He swears again that the object was lost, and then again he admits. Inami, so we'll say he's just taken two shavuos. So, if you're wondering how this could happen, he goes to a separate beis din, right? He goes to a separate beis din, and it could be, by the way, that even the I'm not there, the owner of the object itself is not there. He's just repeatedly swearing. Inami kegon shetan tainas ganov v'nishba uba'edim. Or we'll say, for that matter, it doesn't have to be avad. Reuven claims the object was stolen. He swore to this effect. witnesses came and showed that he was a liar. Or v'chazer v'ta'an tainas kana v'nishpa, or Rabbi say for that matter, he went ahead and he claimed again that it was stolen, and then he admitted, ubo edim, and then witnesses came and proved that, in this case he didn't admit, witnesses came, my, so you see just in these two cases, in both, he's taking two shavuos. So whether he's taking two shavuos, and after he swears falsely he admits it, in which case it only be chayiv chomesh, or he takes two false shavuos and witnesses come after each oath and prove that he's lying, in which case it would be chayiv kefel. So my, what is the halacha, Rabbi? What do we do with such a person? Mi amrinon tre gavne mamona kamrachmana dolo mishtamu iluye chad mamona. So we'll say, so here's what's interesting. So now, here's what we've established beforehand. We established that you can't pay Chomesh and Kefel on one unit of money. So do we say that it's only two different types of payments that cannot devolve upon one object or one unit of money? So for example, Chomesh and Kefel, which are two different types of financial obligations, cannot devolve upon the same item, but Chad Mamona can. But Abosai, for example, two obligations for Kefel or two obligations for Chomesh can't devolve upon the same object. V'hacha Chad Gafnehu. The other passage I will say is what? Or do we say that on one unit you can never be chayev for two different types of payments? And I will say in this case over here, these are two different types. These are two different types of financial liability. So we'll say, see here the shayla. So the shayla just is, the shayla, now that we've established that one person can't be chayev both kefal and chomesh, so is that just, is that a din in that one unit of money can't be chayev in two different types of penalty payments, or that one unit of money can't be chayev in two payments? The nafkamina will be, what happens if the shomer generates two kefal liabilities or two chomesh liabilities? Can both of those liabilities devolve upon the same object? So the Gemara says Tashma. Do Amar Rava, because Rava said v'chamishi, so Yosef alav. So we'll say, so the Torah says, v'chamishi sav Yosef alav. Now, what's interesting, so this is the penalty one-fifth payment. So the chamishi sav, interestingly enough, is a plural word. So the Gemara says, ribsa chamishios harbe lekeren achos. So the Torah says, there are many chamishios. There are many fifths that could devolve upon one payment. Therefore, again, shmamina. So we'll say, it turns out that halacha lemaisa, here's what we know. This is really fascinating. Here's what we know, is that, again, lemaisa, there can't be, you can't be chayiv chomesh and kefel on one unit of money, but you can be chayiv multiple chomeshes or multiple kefels on one unit of money. Good. Tavua b'ayla m'shomer v'nishpo shenet. So now we're going to get into some really fascinating cases. Now these are really, I know I say it often, but this is like the real thing. Says the Gemara, tavu b'ayla m'shomer. It's all just a question of your perspective. Everything is exciting. So says the Gemara, tavu b'ayla m'shomer. Here's the exciting part. Every single word is olam haba. Every single word is olam haba, and you get a cup of coffee thrown in with it as well. Right? Olam haba is enough by itself. Not only do I have olam haba, I have olam haba with caffeine. It's mamish like the best of olam hazeh and olam haba coming together. Incredible. Says the Gemara, tavua b'ayla m'shomer. So we'll say, listen to this. Tavua b'ayla m'shomer. So the b'aylim, same case. I deposit my object with Reuven. I come back to Reuven. I want my object back. What happens? V'nishba v'shilim. They're both saying, this is amazing. So Reuven swears that he doesn't have the object. So he swears that he doesn't have the object. And what happens? V'shilim. Then Rabbi will say he pays back the money. Now look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi says, "Tavua b'ayla m'shomer chinam v'nishba shegan v'avnifta." Now we'll say, remember again, this guy is shomer chinam, an unpaid custodian. So remember, what that means is after he takes a shvua that he did not misappropriate it, that he was not negligent, what's his status? He's potter. Listen to what this guy did. V'achar kach shilem lifnim mishuras adin. Wild. What does he do afterwards? He pays. We'll say, why would somebody do such a thing like that? He feels bad. Look, you know, I asked Reuven to watch an object, right? Reuven was supposed to do a job. Granted, it was extenuating circumstances. He feels bad. He feels bad because now I'm out an object. Now, we'll say, you should know cases like this happen all of the time. Usually they happen all the time with people with Baruch Hashem a lot of money. So what happens? Reuven has the money. So what's the big deal? You know, I feel very bad. It happened on my watch. It wasn't my fault. I'm not responsible. The halacha absolves me, but I really feel bad. So I want to pay. So this is amazing. So the Gemara says, V'hokra agam, ooh, now it gets really amazing. Then they find the thief. So it turns out, remember, Reuven was telling the truth. I will say, for the first time in a long time, Reuven has been telling, it actually was stolen. He swore correctly, but yet he decided to pay. Now they find the thief. So I will say, now you know where this is going. Get ready for this. Kefel ami. I will say, you see why this is magnificently riveting? Is because, listen to this. The shaila now is, there's actually an ROI, right? There's a return on investment. What's the return on investment, Rav Elazar? There's kefil. Now remember, watch what happened over here. So, right, I entrusted the object to Reuven. Object was stolen. Reuven swears he's absolved. He feels bad. He pays me back the value of my item. They find the ganav. Ganav is now going to be chayiv to pay double. Well, said the shaila is, who gets the double? Meaning somebody's making money on this deal. And the shaila is, who's making money? Of course, the simple answer is just give it to the shul. That's the simple answer, right? But again, but let's assuming somebody wants it. So, right? So listen to this. So, says the Gemara. So what do you do with this? This is a fundamental shaila. So says the Gemara, okay, follow me, Abaye Amar Lebal Pikadam. So I'll say Abaye says that it goes to the owner. It goes to the owner. Now we'll discuss why that is in just a moment. Rava Amar Lemisha Pikadon Eslo. But say it's okay. I'm gonna take this. If I have to record the rest of the daf, I'll record it. But this is too good. This is really like. So says Sabai. Says it goes to the owner. It goes to the owner of the Pikadon. Rava says no. Lemisha Pikadon Eslo. I will say Lemisha Pikadon Eslo is the way the Gemara terms the shomer, to the person with whom the deposit was entrusted. So Abai says the kefal goes to the owner. Rava says the kefal goes to the shomer. So watch this. Abaye Amar Lebal Pikadon. Abaye says it goes to the owner. Kevan, listen to this. Kevan de Atrichei B'Shvua Lo Makni Lekfela. Because since the shomer Reuven made the balabas, the owner, go through the process of taking a shvua, therefore the balabas does not give him the rights to the kevan. I'll look at Rashi in just a moment. Kevan de Atrichei Shomer Lebaylim Atchevi Uhu Lebezdin V'Nishba. Now, Abaye does something very interesting. Let's give you a different case, and we'll discuss this case later on, but I'll bring it up now. I deposit the object with Reuven. Reuven gave back my object. Reuven says the object was stolen. So, and Reuven says, look, but you know what? I don't want to take a shavua. Right? Let's just settle this up. I feel bad. I'm going to pay you the keren. So we'll say, in that case, we will see that it's clear that who is the owner, if they find the ganav, who gets the kefal? So the shomer gets the kefal in that case. Why? Why? Because the mice, again, there's a recognition that the owner of the object is saying, look, because you've decided to make me whole, essentially I release any future claims to the kefal. So if you want to go ahead and track down the ganav, that kefal is yours. Abaye says that is only true in a case where the shomer does not make the balabas go through the process of having to take him to Bezin to make him take a shvua. Because it will say taking a shvua in Bezin is a process. So the balabas, according to Abaye, the balabas says, look, you know what? Had you just paid me, the kefal would have been yours. But because you made me go through the process of shvua, therefore by definition, I'm not makna the kefal. I don't release the kefal to you. And therefore, again, the kefal ultimately belongs to me. So that's Abaye. On the other hand, Rava Amar, Lemisha Pikadon Eslo, and Rava says, no, it belongs to the Shomer. Why? Kevan de Mishali, Kevan de Shilim, Mikni Lakfela. Because we'll say, Rava says, look, the truth is the moment you pay the principal, so your case with the Balabas is closed. Any further monetary payout ultimately belongs to you. Essentially, you acquired the rights to the kefal. I'm sorry? You acquired the rights to the kefal the moment you paid the principal. Case closed. Okay. I'm sorry?
Why did you take the
shvua? So it's interesting. So the simple answer to that is it doesn't matter why. Mm-hmm. He did it, right? Or the simple answer is his intention wasn't to pay. My intention wasn't to pay. After the fact, I feel bad. I feel bad that Reuven's out this. I know I didn't do anything wrong. Vaharaya, I took the shvua, but I feel bad. I'm paying him.
So,
The owner is not taking a shvua. The shomer is taking the shvua. The owner has to go through the trouble of bringing the shomer to Beis Din. So according to Abaye, because you made me go through the tircha, I don't release the kefal to you. According to Rava, no. Really, we'll say, really according to Rava, it's not really in the discretion of the balabas. According to Rava, once the shomer pays the principal, once he pays the keren, pretty much he's with that payment, he's almost bought the future entitlement to the kefal. So Gemara says, I'm sorry? No, he didn't buy the object. He did not buy the object. No. For simple reason, you can't buy metaltalin with mammon. Metaltalin, movable property, is only acquired ultimately through mashicha. See, he does not have title to the object. No title to the object. He has entitlement. He could have entitlement to future payouts, but not entitlement to the object. Or I could say differently. Maybe he could have an entitlement to the object, but he certainly doesn't own it. So it says the Gemara, and that's just because of a technicality of kinyan. V'kamifligi b'diyuka d'masnisim. And we'll say ultimately again, really Abayi and Rava are both arguing ultimately again in a diyuk in the Mishnah. Disnan hamafkir etzachavei rabbeimah okelim. So we'll say, listen to this. If somebody deposits with his friend an animal or utensils, v'nignivu osha avdu, and they were stolen or lost. Shilem v'lo ratz l'shava. So in this case you just mentioned, I just referenced this before. Let's say in this case, the shomer pays and decides not to take a shvua. Pays and says not to take a shvua. So what's the halacha? Shere amru shomer chinam nishba v'yotze. Because we will say again, a shomer chinam does not right, just take a shvua and absolve himself from responsibility. Nimtze ha-ganav, if they find the ganav, m'shayim tashlum kefel. So we'll say then, the ganav has to pay kefel. Or tavachu machar, or if the thief ended up slaughtering and selling the animal, arba v'chamisha. So lemihu mishaling. So we'll say, who does he pay? So in this case, the Gemara says lemisha pikadon etzlo. So we'll say, this is a cut and dry case. Why? Because in this case, there's no shvuah. In this case, we'll say again, the shomer just decided to pay instead of to swear. Everyone agrees in that case that when the shomer is paid and is not sweared, that the balabas is makne to him the future rights for the kefal. So the Gemara says. Nishba for the Ratz Hashem. We'll say, what happens if the Shomer decides that he wants to swear and doesn't want to pay? Vinimtsa Haganov, and then subsequently they find the Ganov. So Mishan Gishlomi Kefal, so the Ganov will have to pay Kefal. Or Tav of Machar, Mishan Gishlomi Arav Vechamisha. If he's slaughtered and sold, he has to pay Arav Vechamisha. Lemihu Mishalim, who does he pay? So the Gemara says, Lebala Pikadon. And we'll say, ultimately pays the Bala Pikadon. He pays the shomer. So says the Gemara, Abaye daik mireisha, Rava daik misefa. So we'll say, Abaye was medaik from the beginning of this braisa, Rava was medaik from the end. How so? Rava was medaik, Abaye who says that it's ultimately in a case of shvua, it's the owner who gets the kefal. So Abaye looked at the reisha and he said the following, Diktani shilim v'lo ratzali shava. So we'll say, what happens? The first case of the reisha is that the shomer decided he wants to pay and not take an oath. Time is v'lo ratzali shava. The reason why the shomer gets the kefal is why, Rava say, because he decided he doesn't want to swear, he just wants to pay. Ha nishpa afa pisha shilein. But if he swore, even if he subsequently paid, lemi mishalim, who gets the kefel? Lebala pikadon. Ultimately, the owner. Rava daik misefa. So we'll say Rava was madaik from the end of the Mishnah, or end of the Braisa. Why? What does it say? Nishpa lo ratzel shalim. So we'll say, remember again, the second case was he swore and he didn't want to pay. Taima delo ratzel shalim. According to Rava, the reason why the owner gets the kefel in that case is why Rava was saying, because the shomer did not want to pay. Ha shilim. But if the shomer pays, afa pisha nishpa. Even though he already swore, Lemi Mashalim, who gets the kefel? Lemi Shapikadon Etzlo. Ultimately, again to the Shomer. So says the Yomer Labai Kashi Seifa. So we'll say, so what does Abai do with the inference from the second part of the Braisa? Amar Lechabai Hachi Katani. This is what it means to say. Nishbalo Velo Ratzel Shalim. If he swore and did not want to pay, Kodim Hashvua. El Achra Shvua. So we'll say, the way Abai reads the second part of the Braisa is that if the Shomer wanted to pay, wanted to swear, and did not want to pay before the Shavua, but only paid after the Shavua, Lemi Mishalim, who gets the Kefal, Lebapi Kadam. So we'll say, according to Abai, that's how he understands the Seifa, the Rava Kashi Reisha, but according to Rava, what do you do with the Reisha of the Reisha? So Amalucha Rava will say the following, Hachi Katoni, this is what it means to say, Shilem, Velo Ratsa La'amod Bishvuaso. Elishile. So we'll say if ultimately he paid and he did not want to just stay with the Shavua, who gets the money? So the Gemara says, Lemi Shapikadon Etzlo. Ultimately, again, to the one whom to the one whom the pikadon was, named the shomer. So both say, so fundamental machlokes Abaye and Rava. So how do we paskin? So both the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch paskin like Rava. That both say, in a case where halacha lemaisa, again, the shomer took a shvua and subsequently paid, if the ganav is identified, it is the bala pikad, excuse me, it is the shomer, ultimately, again, who gets to keep the kefil. So again, say even though in this case, he's first taking a shvuah, essentially what we look at is the following. If at some point in time, the shomer goes ahead and makes the bala pikad on the owner whole, at that point in time, the halacha releases any further financial claim from the owner of the object to the ganav, and any further money that comes in ultimately will go to the shomer. Incredible. So says the Gemara, Tavua Bailam Shomer. So let's listen to this case. So now what happens? I deposit the object with Reuven. And I come back to retrieve it from Reuven. And what happens? Vinishba, right? And Reuven claims that it was stolen, or whatever the case is. He swears he doesn't have it. V'hokra ganov. And the boss said, then they find the ganov. So Tavu Shomer V'hodo. So let's listen to this. In this case over here, so they find the ganov. The shomer goes over to the ganav, and the ganav admits that he stole the object. He admits that he stole the object. So tavu shomer v'hoda. They claim against the ganav, and the ganav admits that he stole the object. They both remember what happens when the ganav admits that he stole. What happens? He's potter from kefil, right? Because remember, both say this is a case of moda b'knas potter.
He was identified. He had to reveal that he did it because he knew he was on the road.
No, he can still deny it. He was identified as the thief, but there's still a process. So ultimately, again, he chooses to deny the claim. Therefore, he is potter. So the hook, he's technically potter. Vukra ganav. So tavu shomer v'hodu tavuhu bailim v'kafar. Listen, I listen to this. In this case, so when the shomer approached him, so ultimately, again, he admitted the fact that he stole the object. When the Bailim, the owners of the object, approached him, he denied the claim. Via view Adim, and then the owners bring witnesses, ultimately again to show that he was really the thief. So also listen to this. Me niftar hagana ba'oda shomer, olo niftar hagana ba'oda shomer. See, here is fundamental shayla. So do we say that the ganav is potter, because of his hoda, because of his admission ultimately to the shomer or not? So you're both say, remember, why is there a kash over here? What's the fundamental question? The fundamental question I both say is, the shomer swore that he did not steal the object. Shomer swore truthfully. The shayla is, what's the shomer's relationship to the object post-shvuah? What's his relationship to the object? He swore already, so essentially, he's absolved from the responsibility. So what's his relationship? So do we say, the Gemara says, so Amar Rava, so we'll say, in other words, essentially the Shaila is, do we say that once he's taken a Shavua, he is out of the picture? Therefore, the Ganav's admission to him essentially is meaningless, and therefore we look at his Kfira, we look at the Ganav's Kfira, his non-admission to the owners as something significant, and therefore the fact that the witnesses come along subsequently prove that he was lying is Chayv and Kefil. Or do we say no, that the Shomer still has an ongoing connection to this object as long as the case is still not closed? When the case is only closed once the Ganav pays back, therefore the Ganav's admission to the Shomer is significant, and therefore that admission will free him from Kefil. So Amar Rava, Rava says, listen to this thing. In the MS Nishba Niftra Ganabal Da Shomer. Well, listen to this. Rava says, well, it depends. If the Shomer swore truthfully, said the Shomer is a trustworthy individual, then the Ganav's admission to the Shomer is significant, and therefore, again, the Ganav will be pata from Kefal. In Besheker Nishba, Lo Nifter HaGanav Baudah Shomer. If on the other hand, Rav Osai, the Shomer, swore falsely, then ultimately, again, the Ganav will not be potter with his admission to the Shomer. Rav Osai, now what's the pshat? Look at Rashi here for just a moment. In the MS Nishba, HaShomer Sheta'a Nignava Ba'onis V'Nimtzakein, Nifter HaGanav Baudah Shomer. Dechevan D'ne'emanhu, Anan Sahadi D'i Hava Mishtacha Behima, Necha le lemare that they have biadei dehech hilchach al shomer ze lachzer achare utviyasal tviyava odas haganav gam. So listen to this. If the shomer swore correctly, then that almost creates like an umdina, like an assumption that when the object is found, the owners would have no problem entrusting this object to the shomer again. Therefore, the shomer is still part of the process, and therefore the admission of the ganov will be significant and will free him from kefal. If, on the other hand, nishpa l'sheker, look at Rashi, shetoin meis on nishpar, o nishpa, o nignava ba'ones, u ba'o matza she'eno kein, t'cheivan demegal yomilsa d'shakran hava, anon sadi de lo nechal yomar. We'll say, if on the other hand, the shomer swore falsely. So we'll say, what would be a case, for example, where a shomer swore falsely? I gave the object to Reuven, and Reuven swears the animal died. The animal died. And then we'll say, it turns out that's what? The animal didn't die, but rather what happened? The animal was stolen. Now, granted, Reuven said he didn't misappropriate it, but the animal did not die, it was stolen. In that case, Rabosai, we assume that what? The owner of the object would not want that object going back to Reuven. Therefore, Rabosai, Reuven's Shavua essentially removes him from this case altogether, and therefore the subsequent admission from the Ganav to Reuven is halachically insignificant, and the Ganav will still be chayiv and kefal to the Bible. So we'll say, so Rava's distinction is quite interesting. So Rava's distinction is the nature of a shomer's ongoing involvement in a case, even after he took the Shavua, fundamentally depends on whether or not he's a trustworthy individual. If he swore correctly, then we assume that the owners would not have a problem returning the object to his possession, in which case the Ganav's admission to Reuven is going to be halachically appropriate, and therefore it'll be Pater and Kefel. If on the other hand it turns out that what? That he was a liar, then Lamaisa, we assume the owners would not want his further involvement in the object, in which case again the Ganav's admission of the theft would not exempt the Ganav from Kefel, and the owners would still be able to collect the Kefel ultimately from the Ganav himself. But I will say, we'll stop over here because I want to share with you a short idea from the parasha, but we'll stop over here. I'm going to record the rest of the Mishnah in Yeretz Hashem later on this morning, and we'll post it, and we'll put it on the WhatsApp group as well. Just share with you a short idea from the parasha.